follow us and share us and give us away and all this other stuff. Trick us out.
You're listening to the Help Me With HIPAA podcast, where HIPAA and humor collide to make learning fun. Your delightful hosts are Donna Grindle and David Sims. Relax. HIPAA help is on the way.
Welcome to episode 352 of the Help Me With HIPAA podcast. My name is David Sims of HIPAA for MSPs, and joining me is Donna Grindle of Cardin. Good afternoon, Donna.
Hello, David.
So today we're going to be talking about something we rarely talk about.
All right. Yeah, there you go. Try that. See if anybody believes it.
Privacy and security. But no, the title of this one is 6 Ways to Make Money Online.
Seems perfect.
I mean, everybody's trying to figure it out. We've got it. We've got the proof in the pudding of how people are making it rich on the internet. Right.
We got your stats.
That's right.
Don't get your information anywhere else till you hear ours.
That's true.
We have a deal for you.
Yep. You might be surprised at who some of the victims are. I found out today there's such a thing as a confidence scam, so now I'm not so confident about things anymore.
You are a con man. Come on. All right.
All right. So before we get into that, I want to remind everybody that the Privacy and Security Bootcamp event's coming up 3.5 days in person with me and Donna and our friends.
Yeah, we're bringing in the party.
That's right. It's going to be fun. September 12, 13, 14, and 15. Whew, man.
Yeah.
It's going to be a blast. It's going to be at pricecbootcamp.com. You can get all the information there. We're going to be in beautiful Louisville,
Kentucky.
That's right.
And with any luck, we might find some bourbon there.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the Bourbon and Breeches event.
That's right, Bourbon and Breeches. But yep. It will be an intensive time, but we will at least try to make it fun.
Oh, yep. It will be fun.
Just no like doubt. Having to spend this time to learn this stuff about making money online.
Yep. So if you go over to priceitbootcamp.com, you can figure out how much it is, and you know exactly how much money you need to make online to attend.
Awesome.
Shout out to our donors. Thanks a bunch. We appreciate that. So let's switch over to the 405D tip of the week. So we're going to go through the 10 best practices. And we're not going to do them all today. So don't fast forward just yet. But we're going to take one at a time. And if you don't know what 405D is, you can go to 405d.hhs.gov, get more information, but they picked the top 5 threats to healthcare. And then they took that and added just 10 little teeny practices that you can do to address these 5 little teeny things.
10 best practices. That's
the 10 breast practices. Did you just say the 10 breast practices?
Already we're having problems. It's going to go downhill from here. Jeez. All right, so, let's get it done. You might need to do the rest of the show.
I know. I do the breast I can.
You do the breast you can. All right.
Now you know why we call it a double D show.
Okay, we're already right. Getting kicked out. All right.
I know. Yep. We're going to get pulled from Spotify. All right. So practice number 1, email protection systems. So there are 2 of the most common phishing methods that come through email. One is stealing credentials. Mm-hmm. You know, credentials, once you have passwords and emails, I mean, you got it all.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, think about it. Your credentials are typically your email and your password. If they already know your email address, that's half of it. So all they have to get is your password, which is, another reason why some people won't use their actual email address when they sign up for things. They'll use a different one, mm-hmm. so that they're not using their primary. But
anyway, you have that one, and then you have the what's called the malware dropper attacks. You know, basically having the malware go through email and compromise the endpoints. And those things come through email. So email, obviously can't get rid of it. No matter how much people have tried to kill off email, it's not going anywhere. No. Still the number one vector of attack. And so let's talk about some things you can do. So if you're in a small organization, then things to look at is making sure you have basic email protection controls in place, things like anti-spam, antivirus filter controls on your email accounts. Something that gets people here is they'll say, but I've got antivirus. But you may not have antivirus that's filtering your email. So make sure you have that. The other is the dreaded MFA. Multi-factor authentication. It's one of those things where when you talk to people like, what's the biggest thing I can do to have an impact? And you go, you know, MFA or 2FA, whatever you want to call it. It's one of the biggest things you can do. And they're like, but how much does that cost? And you're like, it's typically free. And they're like, okay.
Isn't that hard to do?
Yeah. And then you turn it on for them. And then a couple of days later, they go, I got to look up a code every time. I can't do that. This is too complicated.
Mm-hmm. But security's not convenient.
Yeah. Not
rule
convenient.
Number one.
So check that out. Most things now, not everything, but most things now are starting to have 2FA controls in place. So you just need to turn those things on and use them. And use them everywhere you possibly can. Even if you're in a platform that you're like, I don't really care if somebody compromises this platform. There's nothing there. Turn it on anyway. Because somehow the criminals will use that against you.
Yeah.
So turn it on. Use it. It's not that bad. Come on now, folks.
There you go.
And then the last one, if you're a small organization, is implement education and awareness activities. Teach people.
Please. I mean, phishing testing, doing that consistently, not once a year.
Yeah, no.
Okay. Doing that consistently so that your folks are getting hit at least once a quarter. The more you do it, the better, because then it becomes something that they actually pay attention to.
Yeah. Yeah, we recently had a client, I think I might have talked about, but one of the people in the organization fell for an email scam, and it was one of those change the direct deposit on somebody, and anyway, they fell for it, and this goes to speak to the fact that no matter how much technology you put in place, if people have the ability to do their jobs and somebody comes in and infiltrates that and changes the information that they think they know, well, now they can make those changes.
Indeed.
So if you're a medium or larger organization, not only should you do those things, but you should also institute basic email controls, which include real-time black hole lists.
Yeah.
Distributed checksum clearinghouses, spam and virus checklist on outgoing messages. You know, some people even talk about, you know, they want everything encrypted. I still don't know if that's a good idea.
Yeah, but
I have had people even recently say, I just want everything encrypted going out. I'm like, okay.
That means the bad stuff's getting encrypted too.
Just so you know. We can try it, but okay. The other thing is to utilize advanced and next-gen tooling to combat phishing and malware. Because they do things like they look at threat analytics and, you know, real-time response capabilities, because that's like the stuff we use. It automatically looks for certain indicators and then it reacts immediately. So you don't have to wait for a ticket to get created and then a technician or engineer to look at it and then to respond to it. You want, you know, automatic responses immediately. And then lastly, perform analytical education by reviewing who your organization is being targeted by and make sure you create education specifically for that group.
There you go. You're done.
There you go. Yep.
There's your gold star for the day, David. All right, let's talk about 6 ways to make money online. This is so exciting.
I am looking forward to it.
And we are pulling it from, you know, as we are usually going to make our decisions based on statistics and data. And we encourage businesses to make decisions on statistics and data, not just, hey, so-and-so said.
Yeah. My IT guy told me that Max couldn't get a virus. Probably not a good idea. All right.
Nah. Yeah. So this is information released recently. The FBI IC3 Internet Crime Report. Tell us how bad it was in 2021 and what they see coming down the pike. Is not it getting better?
No.
We did have some good news that it's apparently they shut down one of the biggest, the largest darknet sites that was being run out of Russia, the Hydra, whatever. So that could impact the growth of some of this. But as we mentioned, they have incident response plans too.
Yeah, often just better than
yeah,
often better than we do.
Uh-huh. So it just depends on how that went. We have reviewed and we've plucked some nuggets. We do want to point out that there are some elements of this report not surprising at all. The big one, of all critical infrastructure sectors reportedly victimized by ransomware in 2021, who was number one, David?
If I had to take a wild guess looking at the chart, I would say...
The one that has the big long line way out.
Yeah. If the one that has the longest line is the indicator, it would be healthcare and public health.
Yeah. It's almost double what's next.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, just shy. Let's see. Well, 148 they logged. And these are the ones they know about
yeah,
that are got exactly. reported to the FBI.
Exactly.
Number two, financial services had 89.
Yeah, not far behind them. My backyard, IT, you know, yeah. Which you would think IT would be low on the list, right? Who's probably not going to fall for cybercrime? IT folks, you think.
One would think, but there's that overconfidence thing that we often talk about. Going back yeah. to the confidence thing about the confidence.
It's also, I believe, too, that it's also an indicator that there are too few people trying to do too much work in IT.
Mm-hmm.
And
we know that those are, you know, and so many people that aren't getting trained.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just do it by the seat of your pants kind of thing. The OTJ training. Yeah. So, but they did make a point in the IC3 report that they do not anticipate it to get better. They, in fact, anticipate an increase in critical infrastructure victimization in 2022. Yep. So we're going to go ahead and just get that out there. We're going to move along because we're like, yeah, tell me something I don't know. So far, these are things I know. But this other piece I thought was very interesting. And then David says, hey, by the way, I wanted to tell you, we're seeing an increase in this problem, which is on this list.
Yeah.
So it's the top six ways that they have made money with internet crime.
Yep. Listen to folks, if you're trying to start a side business, here we go.
So we pretty much already hit number one.
Yeah. So by far, the number one is the business email compromise or email account compromise. So obviously the first thing we did, jumped on 405D. Guess what? The very first thing it says, email protection. Very yes. first thing. So
if you focus on one thing that doesn't have, like you don't have a lot of security going on, do it with email.
Yeah.
You know, start Absolutely. There.
If you only got a dollar. Start there.
Oh, geez. So we've already covered how you could prevent that, and it's mm-hmm. part of 405D. But yep. it's got so many numbers and commas involved after the dollar sign, you just don't want to see it. It makes your eyes burn.
Yeah, it's in the trillions.
Yeah.
Yep. So there's where your moneymaker is. Shake your moneymaker. All right, the next one down is number two, investment scams and fraud. Now, you know, that's kind of one of those things you look at and go, well, I could see that because if I'm looking at investing, I probably have money to invest.
Yep. Well, and then you don't have money after you invest that way.
Yeah. And, well, we won't get into digital currency. That might be.
That'll just.
Completely different scam. But
and how many different ones come out and everybody's jumping on the bandwagon and then it's the commercial. Well, I'm a millionaire. I'm not a millionaire.
Yeah. Well, the latest, which really hasn't hit the mainstream news yet, but all the NFTs that people are jumping on, they are getting scammed out the I mean, just it's terrible. Awful. It's terrible, the NFT scams that are out there. So, I think we mentioned before, Darknet Diaries, one of their recent episodes in the past couple of weeks talks about that. There's a guy who I think I don't think he's doing the crime. I think he's very intimate with people who do. Because his description of how this stuff works is probably inside knowledge. But he talks about, among other things, he talks about how the NFT scams are working and working quite well. Which goes to say, if you don't know how this stuff works inside and out, stay away from it.
Yeah. And the whole NFT thing, it is.
Yeah, don't buy no fungies. Number four, personal data breaches. Not business data breaches, personal data breaches. So because, you know, if you ain't going to do it right at home, you ain't going to do it right at work.
Yep. So, but again, it's the personal data. So PHI is still personal data.
That's true.
PII is personal data. So these data breaches, that is number four, you know.
Number four. Number five, real estate.
You didn't do number three, your favorite one.
I skipped number three. Oh, I did skip number three.
It's your favorite one.
How did I do that? So the confidence fraud and romance scams. That's right.
That's right.
If I can make you love me, I can get your money. We did find that the people 60 and over are the most victimized in that. So Donna's very worried as she gets closer to that number.
Hey, now.
In age.
Hey, now. Hey.
I love you long time, Donna. Send me money.
Don't start.
All right, so that's number three. Apparently, there's a lot of money in scamming romance.
Yeah. I mean, well, let's make a point here because we were in the trillions for the first two. At least it's under a trillion.
Yeah, it's barely under a trillion. Which now that I think about it, I did fall for a romance scam. I was married for 12 years and it was a scam.
Wait, it's not a trillion. It's a billion. Is it a trillion? Yeah, it's a billion. I just looked at the numbers. Beep, beep, beep. Goober.
What?
Just go on. Lead on. $956,039,740.
Yep.
Confidence scams. So that means it's a billion, not a trillion. When I went and looked at these, I'm like, what? Anyway, move on.
Move right along.
We can't read today.
It's too many commas.
It's bothering him.
Real estate and rental schemes. Not scams, but schemes.
Yes.
It's number five. And then rolling up to number six, tech support scams.
Yes. And we've touched on these before, but to see the growth in that one.
Yeah, when you look at that one over the past 5 years, just 5 years ago, it was at $14 million, 14.8, 5 years ago. Today, being 2021, is of the report, $347 billion. From 14.8 to 347 in 5 years. It's doubled almost every year.
347.
347.
Million.
Million.
Okay. That is a jump. That's a jump.
Yep.
And the fact that you started with, hey, we're seeing a lot of this, and I went, wait a minute. This is a perfect segue. So this is the tech support fraud. So tell us a little about what you're seeing and what happens.
Yeah. I mean, lately, we've been seeing a lot of the call Microsoft pop-ups that get on that come on people's computers. And and so far, they've all either come out of two things. One is a website that they go to, which has a pop-up in it. And again, we've talked about this a little bit, but if you're not protecting your website, this is one of the ways people can use your website. So you know, they're not going to deface it or shut it down or whatever. They just go in there and cause a pop-up. Your customers go in or your prospects go in to the website, pop-up pops up on the screen. They think it's legit. They call the number. Bam. You know, here we go. The other thing, and this is what we're seeing, and I haven't yet figured out where they're coming from, but they're Chrome extensions. People are installing or something is installing Chrome extensions into the browser, and these things are causing pop-ups. And
yeah, I've seen this
This is fairly interesting because some anti-malware programs don't do a very good job of looking at extensions and things like that. And so it's a very unique way of getting in. It's almost like malvertising where you know, you click on a malicious link, but it's an ad. It's a paid ad. So it's a little bit harder to catch. But one thing I would say is go through your organization, identify, do you need any kind of Chrome extensions or browser extensions? And if you don't need them, get rid of all of them. Don't have any of them. If you can, if you can do it, block them where they don't get installed at all, or have a policy, or ask your IT provider or internal IT to check the systems periodically and get rid of any kind of plugins or extensions that are in the browsers.
And, you know, even if you need them, like there's some that I need to use periodically, but I at least turn them off.
Yeah,
I do. Deactivate them and then turn them back on.
Yep. And the thing, too, is you don't know how long necessarily those things have been sitting there without being updated. They don't pop up and tell you this, hey, this extension's out of date.
Yes, you should be paying attention to that. But however.
Yeah.
So these things come in and this thing pops up. And I've even seen the ones my aunt called me one time. And in the background, you hear the computer like yelling at you that you have a major problem and you need. And hers is telling her to call for support, call Microsoft. It's on a Mac. And I'm like, okay, first of all, you know it's not true. How to make it stop. And she could not. It had taken over the browsers. Like everything she tried to do, it just started yelling at her again. And basically was saying, you know, it put them in a position where the only way to make the computer shut up, like literally, is turn it off or call them.
Yeah.
I'm like, no.
The one we had today was funny because I think the lady misread the error message because she calls us and she's like, I don't know what y'all trying to do to me, but you locked my computer and it says to call y'all. And I'm like, huh? She goes, it says to call IT. And so I don't know. I didn't respond to the ticket. That was one of the other techs that did, but he was telling me about it. And apparently she read it as it was her IT people that were doing it. And she thought we locked her out of her computer.
Well, I'd rather that be the case than picking up and calling them. She did the right thing.
She did the right thing only because she knew our number versus calling the number on the screen. So I guess she figured she would just call us. She still didn't know it wasn't us until we were like, nah, that's not us.
Mm-mm. That's a scam. If you'd called the number on the screen, you probably would have got a very different, you know, very, very different result at the end of the day.
Well, and you've had clients who do like a long conversation with them. I mean, we have too. I can't tell you. Multiple doctors have been hit by this, but it's after they've been on call and dealing with patient problems and generally nonstop for periods of time. And then they end up just exhausted. And then they're trying to do their QuickBooks or, you know, just trying to get the thing done on their personal device and then fall for it. Just they're too tired and they just want it to go away. So it's sad. And the fact that we have 137% increase in the financial losses. So we know of the times where the money didn't go. So that's how prevalent it is. 137% in the financial losses, increase in the financial losses. So that tells you way through the roof how many times it's actually happening without people giving them the money. And here's the thing. Make these calls right now. Most victims, almost 60%, report to be over 60 years of age and experience at least 68% of the losses.
Mm.
So my family's trained. My dad will call me. Then Microsoft people are calling again. Just tell them to call me. Yeah. But, you know, there's plenty of folks that don't have that, the tech support, or they get terrified because they hear all of these statistics about all of the evil things that people are doing. But to see that incredible increase and then you bring it up, that you're seeing it more and more with your clients calling in. So they're going above and beyond the capabilities here. So this is, you don't just, you know, throw the things out and the computers take care of things. There's people involved. So somebody somewhere is doing some stuff, making good money, and they impersonate tech companies and they tell you you need to pay for your security subscription. I love that.
What gets me though is like, I'll give a client, like, you know, for just for an example, I might say it's going to cost you $50 a month to add this security to your computer. And they're like, oh my God, $50 a month. And then you find out they get scammed out of $1,000. Like, I try to give you something legitimate for $50 and you argue with me, but you'll throw $1,000 at somebody.
You don't even know.
Yeah, you don't even know. That's going to solve one problem you got. It's like, good grief. I'm in the wrong line of work.
Well, and here's the things that I noticed about this is they did see an increase in complaints reporting the impersonation of customer support, but not just IT customer support, but financial and bank customer support, utility companies, all of these kind of things, where they're claiming that they are customer support calling to help you. And we also know that healthcare we're number one in ransomware attacks. And we also know that many of those, they stole the data. And you may or may not be able to believe them when they say, yeah, we stole the data, but you paid us extra, so we didn't do anything. We destroyed it. Yeah, right. So we have seen and heard reports in the past, and I actually saw someone mentioning multiple people in the area here on one of the neighborhood chat sites that I'm on, that people are getting calls that say they're in collections for medical charges at such and such a place. And they're mad at the healthcare center, whatever the clinic or whatever it is, because insurance, I have all the documentation. There is no bill. I've never gotten this bill, and now they've turned me over to collections. I'm like, whoa. I'm going to guess they didn't. This is a scam, because we know that they've called patients and done collections, particularly Medicare patients. Call and tell them you owe the doctor $187. If you give me your credit card, we'll take care of it right now and won't turn you over collections. Won't file it on your credit thing. And people panic and give them a credit card number. And then they figure out, well, let's take this and run with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a great amount of concern that we'll see an uptick in that, because they're finding such a success in doing this. And based on the fact that just anecdotal evidence that it, you know, if it's occurring in my neighborhood and multiple people are talking about it, it is not that somebody turned them over to collections. You know, this happened to me and I want to know, if it happened to anybody else? Yeah, I just had to resolve that for my mom, you know, all these other things. So it's definitely tricky out there, and it's only getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all based on the internet now.
Yeah, and if none of this makes you feel good, then it should also not make you feel good that being in the United States makes you far, far, far greater to be a victim.
Yes, by when you far. Look at the, it's ridiculous. When you look at the,
looking at the stats, it's like, oh my gosh. I mean, there was probably 15 other countries all combined, and it's all of those combined don't even scratch the surface of what the United States had.
I know. And it's not like all of the attacks are coming from, you know, the calls are coming from inside the house.
Well, yeah.
You know, it's not all from other countries attacking us. There's a ton of folks that, you know, thankfully, we're starting to see the FBI is capturing some of these folks, which is awesome.
Yeah. Also, if you live in any of these 10 states.
More good news.
These are the top 10 states, so you might want to move. I was shocked that Georgia's not on here.
Hey.
So here we go. From, I guess, best to worst. If you live in these states, you are more likely to be a victim. New Jersey, Washington, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Nevada, Illinois, New York, Texas, Florida, and California. A.
That's where the people are, though. You know?
Yep.
It's like, it's where the people are in the rural areas. You don't have as many people, you know, and the cows aren't using the internet yet. But
yet.
I can't wait to get cow cams going. I'm gonna have to see if I can get that started. You know, people put the cameras on the dogs, right?
Yeah.
Put one on a cow. Let's see what happens. I have often wondered about those kinds of things growing up on the farm, looking at, put one on a chicken, put one on, and then they become internet connected.
So speaking of the farm, when we look at the victim type or by victim count, so the crime that has the most victims in it, it's fishing, vishing, smishing, and farming.
Yes, but the PH farming.
The PH farming.
Yeah. So PH farming, that's a whole nother ball game.
Yeah.
Where they trick you into thinking you're on websites that you're not. They take over the DNS, and that one, again, goes back to IT as far as I'm concerned.
Yep. But again, you know, you start looking at these, all these are mostly communication platforms. Mm-hmm. They're all communication, you know, phishing, vishing, smishing, all of them is how are people communicating with you, and how can I use that against you?
Well, and when they added the layer on the vishing, where they call and leave you a message, hey, I'm sending you such and such. I just wanted you to know. For years, we said, make a phone call. Well, now they're doing it.
Yep.
You know, anytime you're told to make a financial transfer, make a phone call to it. Well, let me just proactively call and let you know I'm doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just like the, like we always say, whatever we come up with to stop it, they find a way to use that against us too.
Yep.
Get around it.
Which is why doing that once a year training, not doing much good.
No, it is not. So there you have it, my friend. The top 6 ways to make money online.
We figured that would catch some attention.
It seems to be that's where they're making the most money.
Yep. We're not suggesting that you start any of these businesses.
No.
However, if you want to start a business that addresses these 6, you might have a gold mine.
and it's just, we know that everybody that doesn't spend time reading this all the time, like we do, they don't realize just how easy it is to do this.
Yeah.
And well, that's the scary thing is they don't get it. It's easy.
Yeah, it's one of the points that's hard to, it's hard to convey it unless you remember how things used to be. You know, you and I know how hard things used to be.
Yeah.
The hackers and internet criminals that are out there now, they don't have to have near the knowledge that mm-hmm. you used to have, you know, 10 years ago. It's very similar to how, you know, back in the day when you owned a computer, you had to understand some programming or it didn't do anything for you. It just sat there and flashed until Windows came along. And then now there's a graphical interface. And now more people can use the computer because it's easier. It's user friendly. The same things happen in the hacker world, you know, especially when Metasploit came out.
Oh yeah.
The whole, you know, that basically just said, look, you don't have to know how to do any kind of programming. You just click this, click this, click this, and bam, there you go. You just sent payload to somebody. And that's the way most of this stuff is now, is you don't have to be that technologically advanced or knowledge of what you're doing. You just need to know, have the right tools and platforms.
It's a business model that many of us built businesses on. build a product and make it easier for people to buy it and subscribe to it. There you go.
Yeah, because I mean, it's already, some people don't know this, but when you go on the dark web, a lot of the sites you go to look like eBay, Amazon, you know, they even have reviews of the
criminals and how well they pay.
Yeah, it's very interesting. But anyway, that is our show for today, folks. Thanks for listening, and please follow us and share us and give us away and all this other stuff. Trick us out. Remember, Donna and myself, HIPAA is not about compliance. It's about patient care.
You've been listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, hosted by Donna Grendel and David Sims, the show created to help you with HIPAA. For more information or to ask us a question, visit our website at helpmewithhipaa.com. Neither Donna Grendel or David Sims are attorneys, and they do not offer binding legal advice concerning regulatory compliance. The information in this podcast should not be relied upon or construed as legal advice in any way. Consult your attorney for legal advice concerning compliance with HIPAA regulations.